This is Betty Turnell speaking for the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Mr. Bird L. Davis, Jr. Well, Mr. Davis, have you lived in Decatur all your life?
That's right. I was born and raised here in Decatur, lived here all of my life. Born January the 10th, 1904. In the family home at the corner of Eldorado and Union Street. The dwelling has been torn down, that is demolished since that time. But in the some of the buildings that were there, original buildings, are still on the back end of the lot. But the home has been demolished.
Well, the Decatur must bring back a lot of memories to you in that area when you were a little boy living there. Do you have any special remembrances of some of your life at that time?
Oh, yes. Of course, the neighborhood now looks a good deal different than it did then. But I remember when they constructed the, at that time, the United Brethren Church across the street from where we lived. It was under construction at the time, and I must have been a boy about 7 or 8 years old at the time, and I was pretty venturesome, and I crawled up into the framework of the roof of the church when it was under construction, and I don't know whether I got scared or what, but I couldn't get down. They had to call the fire department to put up their ladder and get me down.
And we'll hear later, you had a close association with the fire department later. So the fire department entered your life quite early, didn't it?
That's right, yeah.
But you got down safely from your adventure.
That must have been about the time I must have got interested in the fire department.
But your father owned a livery stable, I hear.
That's right. He and his father came here from Shelbyville. They were in the livery business in Shelbyville. And they came here in the late 1800s, 1890-something, during the Wabash Railroad strike. And some of the first business they had was driving people by horse and buggy to Springfield. The trains get as far as Decatur, and the railroaders get off the train and wouldn't go any farther. So they took the passengers, drove some of them to Springfield.
Their business had a thriving start then.
That's right.
You know, Mr. Davis, I bet there are some people in here who might listen to this who wouldn't know what livery stable meant. Do you think that's possible?
Well,
maybe you should describe what it was.
Possibly the younger generation wouldn't know.
What was it?
Well,
what is it?
Of course, it was mostly horses and buggies at that time, carriages, and my dad had several nice carriages, and he had a what they called a bus and a tally-ho and other equipment for nice carriages for weddings. And, of course, funerals. He had a couple of hearses that he rented out to funeral undertaking establishments at the time. And he also had an ambulance, horse-drawn ambulance.
Well, that was quite a business.
Yes,
must have required a lot of care to take care of all those vehicles.
He had, at that time, he had quite a large livery business, quite a few people working for him. He had his own carriage shop where he repaired his buggies and cabs and refinished them and painted them, had a regular painter and did all that work on them.
To say nothing of horses, how many horses did he have?
Oh, he had quite a few horses. He was very much interested in horses and livestock. Also had a farm at the same time. And we used to drive out there of an evening. I remember riding in the buggy with my mother and dad, and he always drove a pretty spirited horse, and he'd shake the paper, and my mother would have the lines in her hand, and of course...
That would tease her?
Yeah, that would tease her, because the horses start off on a run.
Could she handle him?
It really excited him, yeah.
Was your mother able to handle him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she could handle him. Of course, he was sitting right beside her, and he'd take over, get too wild.
Did they ever have any accidents?
No, not that I know of. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any accidents. Mm-hmm.
Well, a runaway horse was a pretty exciting event in those days.
Well, yes, it was. Yeah. I suppose they did have some. I don't recollect any in connection with our family, but I suppose they did. They did have some, no doubt. Automobiles would scare them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was really a thriving business, but then, of course, it came to an end, didn't it?
Well, yeah, as far as the livery business is concerned, it came to an end when the automobiles came into being. But at that time, when that happened, he went into the transfer business. Mm-hmm. And in the, of course, he had...
What do you mean by that?
Well, he was in the business of hauling furniture
For people. Oh, you mean like trucking?
Yeah,
but by horse and wagon?
Well,
or by car?
Would by trucks.
By car, by
yeah,
that time. He went into the automobile business then.
Yeah, that's right. And
he could see the handwriting on the wall as far
well,
as...
Well, yeah, he had to change with the time.
Yes.
He bought a number of trucks and used those for drayage and hauling furniture and so forth, moving people, moving and transfer business, what it was.
Then, how long did he keep up this business? Did he retire or what?
Well, he gradually phased out the business. Mm-hmm. Farm was sold out northwest of town. Fact of the matter is, it was, I think a part of it was going to be the Richland Community College. Part of the farm would have been, I expect.
The new site, you mean?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So and it wasn't too far from the city
at
this time.
It wasn't too far. Uh-huh. Frank Elliott lived on the corner, and that's Art Wilcox's place now. Mm-hmm. Art Wilcox bought that place. And later on, he acquired the farm that we had. And...
Well, then, we might talk a minute about your own career. You went with the fire department, as we hinted earlier. How did you happen to get started?
Well,
aside from your early rescue.
Yeah, that must have ministered me, got me started, I guess. But I don't know, it was the fire department kind of took my eye, and I liked at the time, when I was a lad, I suppose I was about 10 or 12 years old, I used to go down to the fire station at the corner of West Main and Church Street, and watch them. They had a practice, what they call a practice hitch, of the horses to the apparatus every evening. And I made sure that I was there when they had that practice hitch. I like to see those horses come out of the stalls and hitch them up to the apparatus.
It was exciting.
Very exciting, yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, if they didn't catch the horses and hitch them up to the apparatus, they'd go right on out the door.
They were trained to move.
Yeah, they were trained to move. And it was quite a sight.
Did they have a way of lowering the harness over there?
Yes, they did. They were the harness was pulled up to a ceiling on mm-hmm. ropes and pulleys, and one of the men would drop the harness on the horses, and they'd make a few snaps, snap the collars up and so forth, and they were ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Then they'd make a practice run and come back?
Well, they wouldn't make a practice run. They would just call a practice hitch.
I see. But they'd have a draw crowd when they did all this.
Yeah.
Well, then
that was very interesting, and of course maybe they got tired of seeing me.
You ever hanging around so much?
But then finally, I went to work on the fire department, May the 1st, 1926. And
what was your first job?
Well, my first job was what they call a hydrant man or hoseman. Rode on the back of the truck and got off of the hose line and connected to the hydrant. That was one of my first jobs. Mm-hmm. And later on, I become a driver, and I drove ladder trucks, and then in later years, I was the driver of the chief's car.
When did they shift from horses to motors?
Well, they started that along about 1916 or 17.
Around then. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They still had a couple of steamers, horse-drawn steamers, yeah. They kept one at number 2 station and one at number 1 station.
Mm-hmm. How many stations did they have at that time?
I think they, at that time, they had 3. And just as they were beginning to go into the automobile fire apparatus field, they built another station, number 4 station, at Jasper and Locust Street.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you became a driver, you were driving a fire truck.
Right, uh-huh. Right. Yeah, I drove the chief's car for several years, and then I drove a ladder truck that went on all calls in the city. I drove it several years, and later on I was promoted to captain.
Now, what does that entail?
Well, captain's in charge of a shift at one of the fire mm-hmm. stations, and then later on I was promoted to assistant chief, the next step at that time, and later on I went into the fire prevention bureau of the fire department.
Well, does the fire department has an active bureau?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What were your jobs there?
Well, mostly was inspection work of the buildings, business places. Mm-hmm. And industry throughout the city, inspections for fire mm-hmm. hazards, safety. And I worked in that job several years, I think 7 or 8 years. And then I went from that to chief of the fire mm-hmm. department.
Well, you had quite a long active career then with
yes,
the
I
department.
Did. I came up through the ranks mm-hmm. and up to the head of the department.
Right. Well, now, you've seen a lot of changes in firefighting, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
What are the main changes you've noticed?
Well, mainly the change in the apparatus, of course. They have more modern equipment than they had then. They have more efficient engines in the apparatus and better pumps and They have better ladder equipment, and it's modernization has done a lot in the fire department. Of course, it's made a more efficient department of it too.
Of course, modernization has probably provided more hazards too, along the way. But do you think on the whole that the city is more protected from fires than it was in the past?
Oh, I think so, yes. Between the modernization of the fire department and up-to-date modern building codes,
mm-hmm.
Has improved the whole situation, made for less hazards, and it has the building codes, of course, have gone a long ways towards the help to the spread of fire isn't mm-hmm. as great as it used mm-hmm. to be, and of course safety to life in the buildings also.
Were there any really spectacular fires that you recall?
Oh yes, great. I can recall a few that kind of stand out in my memory. One of them would be the Newman Fire on North Water Street, 100 block North Water Street. That was a large fire.
When did that take place?
Fire. I just don't remember the date of that fire.
Recently?
No, not recently. It's, I would say it's been over 20 years mm-hmm. ago, 25 mm-hmm. years ago.
What caused it, do you know? Do they know?
They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether the cause was determined or not. And then the Stars Garage Fire on North Main Street, 500 block North Main, was a very hot fire. It was a three or four story building, and of course it had wooden floors in it, and they were all oil soaked mm-hmm. on account of the operation there with garage cars. And it burnt pretty fast, and it was really really a hot fire. Fact of the matter is, it melted. There was an asphalt pavement out in front of the on Main Street, and it melted the asphalt mm-hmm. where you couldn't walk across it at all. You'd sink into it and pull your boots off mm-hmm. trying to get out of it. And we had to set up our heavy stream equipment over on the boulevard of the business across the street from it. We couldn't get any closer
to
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we couldn't get any closer to it. It was so hot. Mm-hmm. And one other fire that I remember, it was a pretty scary fire, was the LP gas business up at Forsyth. They operated the liquefied petroleum gas mm-hmm. Sales up there, and of course they had quite a few tanks of LP gas, and somehow in the operation of the business a tank was set on fire, and it spread to the others, mm-hmm. and it was quite a spectacular mm-hmm. fire, and it was one kind of scary too.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the relief valves on the tanks operated, and that relieved the pressure. There wasn't any explosions,
mm-hmm.
which was very mm-hmm. very fortunate. And if there had been an explosion, that could have been really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right across the intersection from the I think that's the, well, my tank farm.
Mm-hmm.
Wild tank farm. And it could have caused some damage there. Turned into a, really a conflagration.
Do you think the public understands firefighting enough? Or is there any way that the general public could help more? Aside from being, I'm sure, be more skilled in fire prevention. Is that the main thing?
Well, yes. It's the sensible approach to it is the prevention of fires. That's the right approach to it, of course. And they're doing a real good job in the fire prevention work, I think. And that part of the fire department, they have more personnel working in the fire prevention bureau, and they can get more done. And it's become a pretty specialized part of the fire fighting business.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course, yes, I'm sure you would rather have the fires prevented than have to fight them
sure,
after they've started.
Sure.
So that's
right. That's like I say, that's the right approach to it.
Mm-hmm.
Prevent the fires before
mm-hmm.
they start.
Well, generally, you think the public supports the fire department well?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They appreciate the hazards and the danger and the difficulties that the fire department faces.
Yes, they. I think the fire department gets good publicity, and they have articles in the paper every now and then about the hazards people
mm-hmm.
should look for and how to prevent fires and safety tips that
mm-hmm.
In regard to fire. And yes, I think
the public is appreciative and supports the work then.
Well, I think so,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Well, I believe you're retired now. Are you enjoying your retirement?
Yes, I am.
You don't have any trouble filling your time?
No. I put in 41 years in the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a long time. I've enjoyed my retirement.
Do you have hobbies or interests that you follow?
Well, I have several volunteer jobs. I work in Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the Boy Scout Lincoln Trails Executive Board, have been for several years, and chairman of the health and safety section of the Lincoln Trails Council. And I'm a member of the Firemen's Pension Board trustees,
mm-hmm.
have been for several years. I was president of the board for 8 years, and I think I've been a member, I could say very safely, I think for 25 years of the pension board, Fireman's Pension Board. And they meet periodically. And I take part in several senior citizens groups. They have several groups around town that meet and just for good fellowship get together. And I attend several of those. That takes up a couple of days a week.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Davis, you showed me here a framed copy of an old newspaper advertisement, and it was about Billy Sunday when you were a little boy. Why don't you come and tell us about this? Well, I'll tell you, I'll describe what is here, and then you can explain about it. It's a pretty big newspaper ad for the Davis Livery Company, and it says, "Billy Sunday told me to sit down." That's at the top. And then there's a picture of you as a little boy. Oh, would you say 4 years old?
I was about 4 or 5 years old, I imagine.
And then it says, "Because I got tired of those hard seats and got up to stretch and got a little exercise." Now, that's probably why Billy Sunday told you to sit down. And then it says, "If I had had one of Papa's nice buggy or carriage seats to sit upon, Billy Sunday would not have gotten the laugh on me." And then it says, "Just because Mr. Sunday called me down is no reason I'm not all right. I am a good boy. I belong to my papa, and he doesn't own anything but the best." And then, as I said, it says, "Davis Livery Company, for good horses, good rigs, good cabs, and good service." Do you remember anything about it?
Yes, I do. At the time, they called it the Tabernacle then, at that time, where they held church. It was across the street from the home place where we lived. And evidently I was on the front row. I always wanted to get out on the front row, and evidently I must have been standing up, and maybe some of the people couldn't see. And Billy Sunday, of course, he objected to that. And that's how this came about.
And your father must have gotten a kick out of that.
Yes, what
he did. Says
he later he used that in his ad in the paper for the livery business.
But you know, I think we'll have to explain who Billy Sunday was. Now I know, but I'm sure there are a lot of people, younger people, who wouldn't know who he was.
Well, Billy Sunday was a noted evangelist that went all around, all over the country, holding evangelistic services, and he was quite a preacher, evangelist at the time.
Well,
very well known.
Wonder if he converted you at the age of 4. At least he probably persuaded you to sit down and be good.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I think he might have made a pretty good boy out of me.
Well, I'm sure that somebody did. So. Mr. Davis, after you retired from the fire department, I believe you took another job with civil defense, is that right?
That's right. 1 year after I retired from the fire department, which would be January the 1st, 1968, I went to work for the Macon County Civil Defense Office, and I was in that office for 10 years. And I experienced three of Decatur and Macon County worst disasters during that time, which three of them happened in 1974. A tornado and a flood and NW railroad yards explosion.
Well, I'm sure that even people who haven't lived in Macon County or who didn't live in Macon County at that time heard about that, the terrible disasters that took place then. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about well, of course, the tornado and flood would be bad. We know that there'd be difficulties there, but maybe you could tell us about the explosion.
Well, the explosion happened in the NW railroad yards, of course, from a switching operation of loaded tank cars. One tank car was ruptured, which contained liquefied petroleum gas. And the gas spread out over the entire area of the railroad yards. And, of course, it reached a source of ignition somewhere in the yards. And an explosion immediately happened. And the destruction was widespread. And it wrecked everything in the railroad yards. And, of course, it damaged some homes around in the area. The Lakeview High School was damaged extensively. And
what time of year was this?
This was in July 1974.
Fortunately, school wasn't in session.
That's right. had it been, I'm sure there'd been some injuries, possibly some deaths in the school.
What time of day was it?
Well, it was around 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a good thing because there weren't too many people up and out on the streets and...
Not too many workers out.
No, there wasn't. So injuries were not so great.
But property damage?
Yes, property damage was extensive in the residential area and also, of course, in the Ware Railroad yards.
Was anybody killed?
Yes, there were several railroaders in the railroad yard at the restaurant. They came outside, and several of those fellows, I forget how many there was, there were five or six of them killed in an explosion.
When a disaster like that happens, and you're in charge of civil defense or emergency, I suppose it was your job as assistant director of emergency services, what do you do?
Well, the job consists of coordinating the various emergency services. Good cooperation is what it takes in circumstances of that kind, and the assistant coordinator's job is to see that there's cooperation and coordination mm-hmm. between the fire service and the police services and the ambulance service and the medical corps and
hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And you did have good cooperation at that time, did
yes,
you?
Yes, we did. Very good.
Well, no matter how good the emergency service is, though, it really is a terrible disaster when something like that takes place. But we all know it would be worse if there hadn't been planning and organization and cooperation.
Well, that's right. It takes the cooperation of all emergency services to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And I think there was very good cooperation. It was, there was some confusion, but that goes along with any large-scale disaster. But the cooperation and volunteer help was tremendous, mm-hmm. Very good.
Did you have to evacuate people?
Yes, it did. They evacuated people from the immediate area of the railroad yard, residential area, for quite some distance.
Following a disaster of that type, are there any services that, or any rules or regulations that are followed to prevent another such disaster?
Well, of course, there was quite a thorough investigation afterwards what caused the wreck and explosion conducted by the National Safety Board.
Did they find out what did cause it?
Oh, yeah, they found out what caused it. It was an error in switching operations in the railroad yard that caused some cars that were switching to bump the liquefied petroleum gas tanker car too hard and overrode the coupler and punctured the tank. And that caused a release of the LP gas. And then, of course, it eventually was ignited.
Now, are there any regulations that came out after that to help to prevent such a disaster, or is it just a matter of training people?
Well, of course, training goes along with it, and then there was some added regulations about switching operations in the railroad yards. There were some regulations in regard to protection on the tank cars, too.
But you have retired now from that position, and so you really have had two retirements.
Well, that's right. This is my second retirement, which occurred in September 78 last year.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that you are still on call for advice or counsel or any help that might be needed, or at least community interest and
assistance. Yeah, you just don't get to get out of something like that after you've been in safety, public safety work for 51 years. And of course, I'd be more than willing to help out if needed.
And after all, you've had built up a great deal of expertise over all those years, so I'm sure that you are glad to give any assistance of that type that might be needed. Now, I'd like to talk to you about your name. Especially, of course, Davis is not so uncommon, but your first name is spelled B-Y-R-D, Byrd. Now, that probably is a family name, is it?
Yes, it is. The Byrd name started in our family back in Virginia. My great-grandparents lived in Virginia and were neighbors of the Byrd family. And they were very good friends. And eventually my father, first name was given the name of Byrd.
Your grandfather, several times removed, was named after the Byrd family, the neighbors.
Yes, right. That's my father. He carried the name Byrd first, and that's where it originated, back in Virginia, of the original Byrd family in Virginia.
How did your family get here from Virginia?
Well, they first went from Virginia to Kentucky, Bourbon County, Kentucky, and settled there. And then eventually they moved on up into Long Creek Township here in this county, Macon County.
You have any idea about what time they moved in?
Well, some of the records show about 1828 or 29.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents came here, great-grandparents.
So they settled first out at Long Creek?
Yes, that's right, out of Long Creek,
and
that
then,
area.
And then moved later to, your family moved later to Decatur, at least your father. But you said your father and grandfather came here from Shelbyville.
Yes. My grandfather was in the livery business in Shelbyville for a while, and then they came, he came up to Decatur, and my father joined him then in the livery business and started here. It was in the late 1900s.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have talked about previously about the livery business that your father and grandfather had. So I think that we probably have covered that, but I did want to call attention to the fact that you do have a name that has a long American history. Byrd is a name that many Americans know about from the association in Virginia and also West Virginia with the name of Senator Byrd.
That's so right, yeah.
You take part in a long American heritage.
Yes, it, of course, a lot of people spell it B-I-R-D, but the right spelling is B-Y-R-D, is the right spelling of the name Byrd.
And you not only take part in a long American heritage, but a long Macon County and Decatur heritage, so that you really are your family has really contributed a great deal to the history of this area.
Well, that's right. It, the family came here, according to records, in 1828 or 1829. They were here during the big deep snow, they called it, which has been written about in the paper. And we're descendants of old timers, pioneers of the county here.
Well, we certainly thank you for sharing your reminiscences with us, and we appreciate the contribution that you and your family have made to this area. Thank you very much, Mr. Davis.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to do it.
You have been listening to the reminiscences of Mr. Byrd L. Davis, Jr., who has shared his memories with us. This is Betty Trinnell speaking for the Decatur Public Library.